This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 562 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, Total Saddle Fit, and Bait Saddles. On today's show, we have friend of the show, Jack Berlew, on to talk about the importance of your horse's postural stability. And then Felicitas von Neumann-Cosell talks about the importance of getting back to basics. Another trainer friend of ours, Patty Mayer, joins us for a great trainer tip.
This is Reese Koffler-Stanfield from Georgetown, Kentucky.
And this is Philip Parks from Rockwood, Ontario, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing quite well today, Reese. It was sunny and a little bit of snow today.
So we've had snow, too. I'm not going to lie.
It's crazy.
It's been a little chilly. I mean, it's been frosty every morning. The horses are in the heavyweights. We had beautiful weather for the first 2.5 weeks we were here. So I can't really complain. I can't complain about weather since I was in Florida all winter. But, and then the bottom fell out. And it was rough. There was,
That's April. It's hard to know what you're going to get.
One morning, Travis got up. He let Annie out. And he said, "It's snowing." Literally just put the covers back over my head. I was like, I can't do it. I can't. So I get it. So Phil, what are you up to? How are you doing in quarantine?
I'm doing fine. I was just telling you before we, come on air that, I have started early on the dressage rider training program.
Yeah. So
just
tell
sort
people
of checked
about
it
it.
Out, it's got some, done the first three workouts because I have the time. Right.
you can be extra fit when we start. So Phil, tell everybody about that. Like, what are you talking about if you're new to the show or didn't listen last week?
Yeah. So last week we had Nicola Smith on. She is from New Zealand. She has a fitness online fitness program that's for dressage riders. And I think it would help for, all riders and people who don't even ride. It's she has been doing a fitness program for everyone before, and then she decided to start a rider-specific one. We had her on the show. We had a great interview, a nice chat. And then actually, we decided to sort of team up with dressage rider training, and we're going to encourage all of our listeners to start the program. I think it's sometime, if you sign up now, you're going to start the program sometime around April 26th?
Something 27th? Like that. Yep. That's right. 26th or 27th. Yep.
Yeah. And then we're going to do each week as it comes, you have three workouts to do each week for 12 weeks. So we encourage people to go check it out. The website is www.dressageridertraining.com/DRS. So
So we can all sign up together, I think.
And we're going to get fit together.
Get fit together. Again, we talk to people all over the world. So, even on this call, our producer's in England, Phillip's in Canada, I'm in the U.S. in Kentucky. So, everybody has varying levels of what's happening. And, it's hard to do a blanket, but we really wanted to have the community. I don't know about anybody else, but this is sort of my Zoom cocktail hour. I've been looking forward to it all day. I got to talk to Phillip a little bit earlier in the day. For me, again, everybody's struggle is different. I'm actually on my farm by myself, which is really hard. As you all probably know, I'm very much a people person and love the interaction with my students. But my barn is also my home. My apartment's actually sort of in the barn. So we've had to really, really lock the barn down. And so literally I am here by myself all day and it's hard. I'm doing all the work and back to my roots, which is good. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is hard. It's different challenges. And so I'm always happy to have a little chat, or I definitely have had some Zoom chats with some friends in the evening. And I've enjoyed the time with my husband. My husband also travels a lot. He's not in horses. And so he's travels a lot. And so actually we've both been home and I've gotten to cook and do some things that I really like as well, but it's hard. It's hard doing all the cooking and the cleaning and the horses. And, so I was really looking forward to today and, definitely have the wine flowing on my end, Phil. I don't know about you. I'm like, it's my Zoom chat of the day.
Not yet, but it's usually something that starts to happen about halfway through our show. So
now you guys know the secrets of the Dressage Radio Show. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and for everybody, the other thing that that's going on with us is we do a book club this month. So we try and do it monthly or bi-monthly. The book that we've got going on right now, that Reese and I have both received, is called Freestyle, The Ultimate Guide to Riding, Training, and Competing to Music. That's cool. We encourage everybody to go to www.horseandriderbooks.com where they can pick up this new book. It's written by Sandra Beaulieu. It's kind of cool. Kind of checking it out. It's got lots of pictures, which I love. Book with diagrams and some beautiful photos and, so we're going to give that out to an auditor, hopefully soon. Yes.
And how do you become an auditor, Phil? How do you do that? Because this is also a really cool community. If you're new to the show or looking for communities online, what is an auditor, Phil?
Okay. Well, the auditor program is a way in which our listeners can support us, support the show, support the Horse Radio Network. So you just need to go to horseradionetwork.com. Click on the link somewhere on that page for the auditor program. And I think it's $3 a month, at minimum $3 a month, to become an auditor. And then you get an invite to the special exclusive Facebook page for auditors. And that way we connect with our listeners as well. We get questions and we give out our book of the month for the book of the month club to an auditor and then they agree to come on the show and we talk about the book for, for half an hour or whatever. We just review each of the books that we have. And again, it's a great way to connect to our listeners. It's a great way to connect. I'm an avid reader and, so is Reese. So we love getting these books. We love expanding our knowledge. So this one is all about freestyles. That's all I got.
Yeah, it's true. Phil, have you done some freestyles in your career?
A few lower level, maybe not even a few. I've done an I-1 freestyle because that's sort of the program that you do when you show that small tour. Maybe a third level one, way back, second. So
yeah,
not a lot.
Yeah, so
I'm definitely not an expert in freestyle. Usually, I just hire somebody to. Help me out with that because I'm not musically inclined or anything, So
that's true.
But I think with a lot of new technologies and
the
way that we can, use programs, use a computer to help with the editing of music and help us find music. I think
absolutely
it's easier to put together your own freestyle. So hopefully,
after
reading this book, I'm going to be ready to put one together and rock it whenever we get back to show season.
And that's kind of why we chose this book, right? Because freestyles actually take quite a bit of time. And
A lot of planning.
And right now, great time for time and planning. So that's why we chose this book, because we're just kind of getting those juices flowing that we really want you guys to, have a community, have some things to do. And if you've thought about a freestyle, this is a really good time to do it because they really take a lot of time. Even if you hire someone to help you, they take a lot of time. So we're hoping this kind of will motivate you and give you something cool to look forward to. So that's great. Phil, I will also real quick in our chat, because I'm here at the farm pretty much by myself. I mean, my husband's working too, and we're both working really long hours. So, you know, we come in, we have dinner. Basically, I shower, I do night check, and then I go to bed. Like, I'm not very exciting right now. But one of the things that I've started doing, which I didn't do before, was I've started listening to podcasts, which has been really fun because obviously we do a podcast. But sort of once we finish, it goes to the editors and typically, you know, Phil and I start thinking about the next episode. So it's been really fun to listen to some podcasts, and I've loved, the podcasts that have created even more of a community with the podcast. I've really enjoyed that. So that's one of the things I think that we've looked forward to with our podcast here. We're doing a little bit longer show. We're trying to give you guys some ideas. So feel free to reach out. Phil and I love, love, love listener feedback. And we've got actually a listener feedback trainer tip. So keep it coming. We love it. We will try. We can pretty not get everybody on this show, but we can get a lot of really good people right now because we're all stuck inside. So keep it coming. So again, my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com and philip@horseradionetwork.com. Feel free to reach out to us, and we hope you guys are enjoying all our efforts to kind of create a community and keep our community going. Well, Phil, we're going to come back. We're going to have a quick commercial break from Bates Saddles. We appreciate all their kind words in sponsoring our show, and we're going to come back with a great show.
Bates Saddles offer highly specialized saddles for every discipline, engineered to bring out the best in you and your horse. Underneath the finest European leather, you will feel the power of innovation. For you, the rider, enjoy instantaneous comfort, optimal balance, and seamless contact with your horse, leaving you free to concentrate on your aids. For your horse, the Care Cushion System and Easy Change Fit solution ensure the absolute comfort and your peace of mind. Revolutionize your riding experience and fulfill your true potential by riding in a Bates saddle. See your local retailer for a test ride or visit batessaddles.com to find out more. That's batessaddles.com.
Well, tonight we are so happy to have back on the show and my favorite author, Jacque Belew. She's the author of 101 Dressage Exercises, Equine Fitness. She has tons of books that I love and use every day. Jacque, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to talk with you both again. Thanks for having me on.
And well, we're really excited. And as we know, this is a really challenging time and your books are fantastic. You have books for riding. You have books for groundwork. But you also have a new, really fantastic online program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So how it came about was about this time every year or earlier, I get a lot of emails from people that are coming out of winter hibernation, and they want to know what sorts of gradual conditioning things to start doing with their horses. And I decided to really narrow it down and simplify it and put it in an online program. And it, what it does is guides people day by day through 4 weeks of basically postural conditioning, because that's what you would want to emphasize with your horse first before you get into the cardio phase. And so I launched the program in early February, and the feedback has been really great. People are enjoying it. It's kind of like having a coach, you know, in your pocket.
So can you tell us a little bit about how does it start? How do you get the program? Kind of give us the basics.
Yeah. So people can access it through my website, which is jacquebelew.com. And how it works, and there's a free preview there. People can do the first week for free to try it out. And how it works is there's a little video lesson, which is short. You know, it's like 2 to 3 minutes that kind of introduces the exercises that you're going to do. And then it gives you each week, each of the 4 weeks, you get a different, I call it a walk workout, but it's 25 minutes of work that's all at the walk for your horse. And it's riding, or you can modify it to ground driving or online if your horse is in a rehab situation. And it kind of tells you how to fill that 25 minutes, you know, so go do these, you know, patterns for this long and then go do these patterns. So it kind of takes you through that. And then each week you get two different, what I call calisthenic exercises, to emphasize. So that might be anything from like a wither rocking bodywork technique or walking over ground poles set up in a specific way, all geared towards accessing the horse's postural muscles, which is what the whole course is about. And then each week you get a new batch of exercises and an explanation on why you're doing the things you're doing. And there's a discussion board. If people have questions, they can post and I jump on there and answer them. And it's been just really rewarding to see people getting so much benefit out of this simple, you know, the consistency of the simple little things that they can do with their horses.
So Jack, maybe you can get into a little bit about, you know, sort of your meaning and some definitions about postural muscles and what you mean by calisthenics and, you know, as best you can.
Yeah, for sure. And what I mean by postural muscles are those deep stabilizing muscles, especially in the back. And the reason I'm such a fan of, when I say calisthenics, what I mean is like slow moving, fine motor control exercises, which could be something, for example, turn on the forehand, something where you're not moving at speed and you're asking the horse to take its joints and the body through a full range of motion. And I believe through all the studies I've done through physical therapy that that allows you to access these little tiny stabilizing muscles in the spine. The reason is because you haven't allowed the big longissimus muscle to switch on and take over, which it kind of wants to do, especially if the deep back muscles have become deactivated through either total lack of fitness or, you know, a stressful situation or an injury. And so when I use the terminology calisthenics or give people a calisthenic program to do with their horse, and a lot of groundwork kind of naturally is calisthenics, if you think about it. But there's also a ton that you can do with the horse under saddle at slow speeds and a really relaxed kind of body frame that targets these postural muscles by not allowing the big fleshy muscles to take over, like the glutes, the top line. We don't want those taking over the work of the stabilizing muscles. So it's probably a longer description than you wanted, but that's what I mean.
No, that's perfect. Yeah, that's great.
And Jacques, is there a way, so, you know, a lot of people maybe aren't able to ride, maybe they are able to do some groundwork exercises. Give us some kind of insight or some things that we can work on with our horses if we aren't able to ride, but we are able to see them.
Yeah, so there's a lot of simple things that I do with a single ground pole on the ground. And there's one in my book that's really popular, which is having the horse straddle the pole with his legs on either side of it. And people have had all kinds of results with that exercise. It's a really cool one. But then in addition to that, what I like to do with horses, especially for horses that get really tight in their shoulders, which is most performance horses, and actually most horses that just live in a stall because they're just not getting the movement that would help sort of, you know, keep things lubricated, so to speak. What I do is put a single pole on the ground and then take the horse and walk his front feet across the pole and then have him come back across the pole. So you're walking back and forth across the pole, but with just the front end. And after you do that a couple of times, the horse will really start licking and chewing and relaxing. And, you know, as he's activating the deep muscles under the scapula, and especially when he has to come back across the pole, he's having to pull his scapula back, which aside from jumpers is not a motion that a lot of performance horses make. They don't get that full range of motion where the scapula slides all the way back. But if you can get that, then you have like awesome range of motion and shoulder in, for example, or half pass. So that's a really cool one that targets those deep, tiny muscles close to the core.
Maybe Jackie, you can talk to us. Yeah, sorry. I was just going to ask you to delve a little bit deeper into, you know, what are the benefits of working the postural muscles to maybe specifically dressage and how that all fits together with our training plan, which basically after, you know, get the fitness up and then, you know, then we are actually wanting to activate the glutes and the top line muscles. And so how does that build in, you know, one into the other? And the benefits of
perfect question. And the way it facilitates the larger goal of creating that big powerful movement from the locomotion muscles is horses, I mean, just like us, they want stability in their posture. And many of them lack, I mean, you know, a young horse is a perfect example. They haven't yet developed stability. So people will say, oh, my horse is really wiggly or wobbly. You know, we hear those terms. Or a horse that's chronically hollow and travels around like a giraffe with his head up in the air. A lot of times they're trying to find stability in the spine, because what we know now is for the horse to stabilize his spine, if he can move the vertebral joints closer together, it stabilizes them, right? If the muscles haven't been activated enough, the deep stabilizing muscles. And so they'll raise their head to try to stabilize things. But if we can teach the horse to, and help him develop those, the deep core muscles, so the deep abdominal muscles, those little muscles alongside the spinal joints, then the locomotion muscles are freed up to do their job, which is movement, big, powerful, strong movement. And so you don't get the big fleshy muscles trying to take over the job of stabilizing the spine and moving, which they're not designed to do because they're not highly innervated, those big fleshy muscles. So I describe it like an orchestra when everybody's playing the right role. You know, the postural muscles are doing the job of keeping the spine stable, and then the big muscles are moving it around. And then you've got this perfect, graceful, light movement.
Wow. I don't know if that anyone else, but I also am sitting up a little straighter while listening to this because I'm
like, you're like, let me fire up those postural muscles.
Yeah, I don't think it's really my postural muscles. I love it. I love it.
And the thing is, like, a lot of this can sound really technical, but that's why I started the online courses. It doesn't have to be, and there's nothing really complicated about it. It's like, it's the same with people. If you go to a physical therapist, they don't give you confusing things to do. They're usually absurdly simple exercises. Like if you've got a torn rotator cuff, for example, they give you these really simple exercises, but they're highly effective because you're training the nervous system, you're wiring new neural pathways, or in some cases just keeping them activated. And so that was a motivation for me to start the online courses, just to give people like simple 5-minute little things they can do with their horse when they go to the barn that's going to keep all those stabilizing muscles tuned up. So when we do all get to this wonderful time where we have unrestricted time with our horses again, and we're in our full training mode, then you can really hit the cardio conditioning and the big gymnastic conditioning because the body's prepared for it, you know?
I love it. I think that's the big thing, right? Is right now it's a great time to prepare, and it's a great time to read and educate. And so that you are, and we all, this is not speaking for a friend, this is me too, we're ready to go when sort of things open up, and that's hard because we don't know. But Jack, you also have fantastic books that I love. So how can our listeners find you online, find the books, etc.?
They can just go to my website, which is jackbelew.com. And I'm also happy to answer any questions people have if they want to shoot me an email through the website.
Awesome. And then your books, we can find them on horseandriderbooks.com.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic. Well, Jack, thanks so much. As always, we love your programs and we love your material, and we look forward to having you on another time.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
Well, we're going to have a quick break from Kentucky Performance Products. And as always, we can't thank our sponsors enough. If you have questions, contact Karen. She's a contributor on the show. She'd love to talk to you about your horse and what's going on. While you have some time, she's in the office and would love to talk with you. So after this commercial break from Kentucky Performance Products, we're going to come back with Felicitas von Neumann-Cosell.
Vitamin E is a powerful antioxidant that supports healthy muscle and nerve function by limiting cellular damage. Green grass is the best source of vitamin E for horses, but most horses don't spend enough time grazing to meet their needs. Hay, grain, and winter pasture provide little to no natural vitamin E. To ensure your horse's vitamin E requirements are met, choose Elevate. Elevate contains a readily available source of natural vitamin E. Elevate is cost-effective and easy to feed. To learn more about Elevate, visit the Kentucky Performance Products website at kppusa.com.
Well, this evening, we are very, very privileged to have Felicitas von Neumann-Cosel. She is an international rider and trainer, and we're so happy to have you, Felicitas, during this time of quarantine. You're so busy, and this is one of the bonuses we get to get a hold of you this evening. How are you, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm very excited to be with you guys this evening, and like you said, the benefit or the silver lining in this situation is actually not having to travel as many weekends. Often I travel on a Thursday night already to go where I need to go, and being able to be home and talk to you guys is really a little, benefit that I can have. And, we were going to talk a little bit about today in this very current situation that is so different than anything anybody has experienced. What can we do as professionals? What can we do as amateurs? We all love our horses. And so I wanted to share a little bit the sentiment that I've gotten from a lot of other trainers and friends that have talked about that for them, the silver lining has been that they did not feel the pressure of having to produce a horse that has to go to the first horse show whenever that is in your calendar. Or a young man in Germany who trains a lot of the stallions, all of a sudden he does not have to take him to the stallion shows and to take a deep breath and just say, I can be home and I can focus on training. Sometimes really gives us the ability and time to get back to the basics and maybe think of the same old problem from a different direction.
That's a really interesting topic because, as people were gearing up in Florida, it was an Olympic year. So there was a ton of pressure on those team riders to be producing a really, good horse. And now that they've delayed the Olympics, I think a lot of people are, looking forward to the chance to go back to training because they had a few shows. Maybe it went really great. Maybe it didn't. Yeah. And now everybody is just on the same, playing field to say, okay, what was working? What was wrong? I want to make it better for next year. That's an entire year. So the horses could have a bit of a rest and then we can just gear up again.
Yeah. And you certainly feel bad for the people who, for example, have qualified for the World Cup, understandably, and also who have qualified for the Olympics, but then the qualifying time wasn't even over yet completely. So it all is just a very unusual situation. And I am also thinking about, my clients that are sitting at home right now that cannot come and see their horses. And a lot of the people that I see during clinic times that I can't see right now. And I'm trying to encourage them to really think about the horses, maybe sometimes from a different angle. And it often starts with understanding who your horse is. We talk often about going to the basics and we talk about the training scale, which is very important when you think about training dressage and understanding dressage. But when you think about the whole idea of riding, it is so much more complex because we're first dealing with an animal. The animal has a personality. One person can't get the horse to go forward. You can't get it inspired. The next one is running away. The next one is spooking. I think we have to also sometimes really first focus on what do we need to do to help the horse to be in a situation that he can actually learn and communicate with me so that his brain is in the right place. So I find that how few people even understand the horses on the ground and understand, or don't understand what actually makes them tick. So maybe this is a good time to look into some natural horsemanship videos, or there are some good books that talk about horse language. I think that sometimes that is forgotten. And then I encourage them to maybe think about the horse, how do they have to use themselves to do the job of dressage? And there's some great articles, for example, about the horse's sling by Dr. Hillary Clayton, and just understanding how does the horse, how is it put together? Understanding where the bones is, it's interesting for me how many people don't even really know where the horse's spine is in the neck. And I think it would be great for people to investigate to see where the pieces of the horse are and how would they have to come together that this whole locomotion can happen. And then, of course, you know, I always encourage them also to think about the biomechanics of the rider. My cousin, Susanna van Bietze, has written some really good books about the rider's anatomy and how things are put together and how does it work for us to go with the movement. And for my personal clients, I have some advice because we always play when we're at the farm that we do some mimicking riding on the ground. I have people walk and trot and canter and carry their hands and we have some exercises like that, which they can do at home. And then I think they need to look into the theory of dressage. And again, thinking about the horse, trying to figure out, is it really, do I have a connection yet? Do I have rhythm and tempo? And how is my body possibly related to that subject? How do I feel if my horse has rhythm and tempo? And then maybe they can find the correlation, for example, that their seat bones are very important for that subject so that they can feel the horse's rhythm and that they can feel the tempo and how it influences the quality of the gait. If the horse is too fast, it can be sometimes too flat. Those are just examples. And I think this is a good time for people to take a step back and maybe thinking of the big picture again and then coming more motivated back to the barn.
Yeah, and I love it.
The last thing that I've also really encouraged them has been to not forget about visualization. Mm-hmm. And I get a nice email. I'm in an email flow from London Gray, who sends some great tips to her kids. And I really liked the one that she wrote about visualization, and I forwarded that to my clients as well. And I encouraged them really to mentally ride their horse. And then one of my clients said, well, you know, I don't even remember. And so then I just reminded her of her last lesson and the exercises we did. And then she wrote me back an email and basically recounted the whole lesson that she wrote in her head, which was excellent. And then I told her, because she's sometimes not comfortable with a horse, I said, so now imagine you're doing this in the outdoor arena where you're a little scared. And so maybe we can attack some of our demons in that way as well. So it's not quite as scary because we're only doing it in our head, but we got to do it anyway.
Right. So, and there's a lot of research to say that the visualization is really important.
It works.
Absolutely.
For sure it works.
And I think these are all such important things. And I think just the idea of just stepping back and maybe you're not able to ride, but you can spend a little time with your horse every day. I think that's so important. And I get it because I normally have helpers and wonderful young women who help me in the barn. And right now they're not here. And so I'm doing it. And I can tell you, there's a lot to be said about doing all the feeding and all the stalls, and I get to spend time with my horses, which I don't normally do. And that is, there is something really lovely and beautiful about that. And, you know, I'm not really in a hurry. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, it's a little bit different. We've got lots of lessons and lots of things going on and I don't. So,
I love hearing you say that because if I miss one thing, it is that I don't have the time to do the grooming anymore or those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But what we were able to do this year, we came up with a number of horses that was reduced by quite a bit, but we still could make the business work so that I could really have more time with each horse. And, you know, I personally play with the shoulder pads with my horses all the time. And
Wendy Murdoch, she's a Wendy Murdock. Sorry, is a big, big, she's on our show a lot. And Wendy, there's a surefoot.com. Those are great pads and lots of content with Wendy as well.
Yeah. And I'll actually have a Zoom conference with her next week. And it really, it allows me to observe the horses, and I can take the time. I'm not a body worker, but I put my hands on the horses and know to do some things that I find extremely helpful, and to just observe what are they doing. You know, the horses don't lie. You can always see in all of what they do where their weaknesses are and where their strengths are. And having that moment to take a breath and just say, I'm going to do it myself and I'm going to watch it and I can do that. That is just, for me, it's a gift, because still, I don't know how much you get paid or not paid. It's a passion that I live. And when there's too much pressure, then it makes it so much harder, you know?
Yeah. And I think right now, you know, all of us, we don't know when competition's going to start again, or if they're going to be this year. And I think I've heard a lot of anxiety about that. And I think just taking the anxiety away and just saying, okay, we're just going to spend time with the horse, you know, just take a deep breath, look at the silver lining of all this, and don't be so focused on the competition.
Exactly. Like we said, I think that some really like improvement could come from that, because you can go back and you can redo things. And so there is that opportunity to do that. So I think maybe that is a benefit. And, you know, and another thing, of course, you know, for a lot of us professionals, there's, of course, that concern that, you know, you can't fly to the places where you usually teach on the weekends. So I have not been able to be in touch with my students as much as I would like to. But I could probably figure out the technology of teaching virtually, but I have this problem that I need to put my hands on the horse and on the rider. And that makes it for me a lot more difficult. But I started to do something with a couple of my students, that I had them send me a video, and I did a video analysis. But then with that video analysis, I expected them to send me an email, a detailed email of what do they feel? What does a horse feel like? What is their goal? What are they doing to improve self-carriage? So I really challenged them a little bit with their knowledge and also with their thought process. What are you guys, what are you doing? And so with the video analysis, obviously I gave some suggestions. And what I want is, I said, okay, I want weekly feedback, either with a video or with an email. And I want a conversation. I want to know what you feel. Was this helpful? Was this not helpful? Is this clear or is this not clear? And it's been fun, because I've been getting some really good feedback. So
I think
you're turning all of your students, you're turning all of your students thinking riders as well, right?
That's my whole point, is that I feel like we need to be more mindful. You can't just sit in a lesson and be told to do a half pass and then a flying change. And if it doesn't work, you go a little bit more forward or you come back a little more. There has to be more depth. And I miss that too often. And I really do. I love to educate in that way. I really like to have people feel much more, because often they're really not aware what they're telling their horses, because their seat tells the horse to go to the right. Their hands tell the horse to go to the left. And, you know, the horse ends up somewhere in the middle going like, well, what do I trust? So there's a lot of conflicts going on without ever being recognized. Or, you know, you're tapping the horse for the piaf, but you don't realize that you have 50 pounds in your hands and you actually have the parking brake on. And then you're surprised that the horse is afraid of the whip, because where's it going to go with it? So there's just too many things that, with a more mindful approach, could be showing the horse what you really want them to do.
No,
it's a great point. Yeah, it's a great point.
Well, I just love this idea. And this is also, you know, lean on your coach a little bit. I think all of us, we're all three professional coaches. And, you know, I miss my students. I miss my job. I want to do my job. I'm not able to do my job right now. We miss it. We miss you guys. So, you know, I think the video analysis, I've also done the same. Very similar, setting goals, being more mindful. And there's a there's a lot to be said about that. I think it's been nice for my students. It's nice for me because, again, we do this job, maybe not always because of the money. We do it because we really love doing what we do.
The honest truth, yes, we all have to live. That's the bottom line.
Right.
And at some point, maybe we'll have to retire, but hopefully we can teach forever.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like, you know, I feel such a sometimes an urgency to pass along all the experiences I've made. And I've often said that I step into a lesson and I watch the horse and the rider and the problem. And I'm going like, I could give you 10 lessons right now. Which one is the one I'm going to choose?
Right.
So, and if I have more consistency with a person, then I realize, oh, this first lesson did this, but maybe not that. Then I can give you feedback and give you the next lesson, you know, or the next idea or visual or so.
Yeah, it's definitely a great way to help. And again, it's a good way in a lot of ways that you can get some more theory in that maybe you wouldn't do when you're in the arena or it's an interesting way, but I agree. I think it's a great way to lean on your coach. It's actually it's nice for routine for all of us, you know. It's a lot of times people see your coach once a week or every day or whatever. It's part of your day that consistency is nice as well.
And it is interesting to get feedback because I've been surprised once I really started asking people what they feel. Sometimes it was amazing and sometimes it was surprising. And so it is important to know what your student says. And I grew up in a time where you didn't dare to ask a question. That's just not right.
Yes.
Feedback is not necessary at all. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Please don't say anything.
Don't talk. Well, Felicitas, thank you so much for coming on and bringing some light to the situation. And again, I think we're all in the same boat, but there are things you can do. And I really appreciate also for myself listening to the interview. So if our listeners have any more questions or want to find you online, how do they do that?
Well, I think at this point, I hate to admit it, but the best place is probably Facebook. You could Facebook message me. We're just in the works of making a new website for First Choice Farm. So I don't have that up at the moment. But on Facebook, I have a professional and a personal page, and I get all my messages there. So that's probably the most reliable one.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much, and stay well. And thank you for all your advice this evening.